Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Serge, so here we are with a very special edition of Flavor Matters. And I wonder how many people know that not only are you the chef king of Saravan, but that you're a pilot. It's like being a philosopher. It's like being a philosopher king. But I don't know how many people know that you are also a pilot. You would have to be at the restaurant and talk to you in the past to know that you had just gone someplace to pick up the day's catch, for example.
Yeah, I think many people know that I'm a pilot, especially because of the scallops and the oysters that we serve at the restaurant. These are very special times and very confusing and disorienting, to say the least.
Don't you want to just say unprecedented?
Unprecedented, I think, is a putting it mildly. I think on a daily basis, it's very disorienting. And I like the word disorienting because as a pilot, that's the last thing that you want to have happen to you, to have spatial disorientation and get yourself in trouble. And I think my pilot training, I find it to be very useful now because when I started my aviation training and pilot training, one of the first things that many pilots told me, including many old pilots told me, is that there are bold pilots and there are old pilots, but there are no old bold pilots. And I try to remember that and keep that in mind all the time. And how do I do that is by remembering that as a pilot, especially when you have passengers, there is no such thing as being overly safe. You know, being a pilot and all the protocols that are in place for flying, whether you're a private pilot or a commercial pilot, is for safety. And there is no such thing as being overly safe. And I think the reason it's unprecedented for me has a different weight, even though it is an unprecedented era for us. I think disorienting is a lot more applicable because, you know, I am a pilot that can fly on clear days or partially clear days. I cannot fly on cloudy days. I'm not trained to fly on cloudy days. Cloudy days flying requires a specific type of training, an extensive amount of training, and it's called IFR training. And the interesting thing about IFR training is that you just don't want to be a IFR rated pilot. You want to be a very proficient IFR pilot. That means you have flown and you fly and you maintain your training in IFR flying, because it's dangerous and there is a lot of little details that the pilot must keep in mind. So now I think if I were to use Saravan as an airplane, we have taken off on a beautiful clear day and we've encountered storms in front of us or clouds that have gathered unexpectedly. And interestingly enough, Jill, this has happened to me on one of my flights back from Provincetown, full of seafood in the airplane. I had to declare an emergency and land at the nearest airport because I found myself in the clouds, completely whited out. So in order for me to not get disoriented and to not develop what they call spatial disorientation, I had to maintain my heading and my elevation and listen to the controller who helped me locate the airport and communicated with the airport and said that I am landing.
And I just, even though this isn't you, I want to just go back to that horrible crash that happened pre-COVID. It was the helicopter crash in California, exactly, when, you know, someone who had been flying for a zillion years.
Yes.
Got into difficulty because of fog. He got disoriented. So
and this, yeah.
And it just, and it obviously didn't end well.
It didn't end well. And this is, you're raising a very interesting point. I was wondering if we would have time to talk about this. You're raising a very interesting point because the pilot had this celebrity on its, as a passenger. And he wanted to make sure that he did what was needed to do. And he compromised his safety and the passenger's safety because he was eager to get them to their destination. And I've heard this from many pilots, who are private pilots, private corporate pilots, or private, you know, wealthy people who have jets, and they want to go to their to their game, or they want to visit their friends, and they're pressed. The pilot is pressed to go to the destination, or the pilot feels compelled to impress the client. And that's a very interesting point because I am not interested in impressing anyone. I am interested in maintaining safety. And how do I maintain safety now? I listen to the medical professionals. I listen to the medical health officials that tell us about the nature of the virus, which we're still finding out more and more about it. It's still a novice virus. And also, it has a Russian bullet element to it. And we're finding more and more about whether it stays airborne, whether it's vaporized, and it stays longer, even though outdoors is safer. We're learning that even outdoors, wearing a mask is important. Maintaining 6 feet apart is important. All of these are new findings, you know? And
I'm glad you mentioned that just because, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but one of the things that I am noticing, and I don't know whether you're, you know, I don't have to serve the public in the same way that you do with your restaurant. But one of the things that I am noticing separately is that things have been, this has evolved. You know, we're not where we were when we didn't know anything in March. And
exactly.
or April or May, and it continues to evolve. Just as the virus continues to evolve, you would expect the information to continue to evolve. And what I marvel at sometimes is that it doesn't seem as though people's thinking is allowing that to evolve. And what they say instead is, well, we didn't have to do, or you said once, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, I definitely said in March, for example, that it was cold outside because guess what? It was. But now it's July and it's not.
Oh, I love your sense of humor. That's funny. Yes, no, I mean, I agree with you, and we're learning. That's one of the reasons they call it novice virus. But listen, I listen to my brother, who's a doctor that works at UCLA. He's been there for 30 years, and he has a lot of other doctors. And I listened to their assessment. I listened to Fauci. I listened to some of the doctors that I have the privilege of making food for that have become friends over the years. And they let me know that, hey, Serge, in fact, the situation is worse than you know. And I, as a individual, I'm not interested in meeting this virus because at my age, I'm not interested in playing Russian roulette. And maybe if I were 20, I would say, hey, you know, why not? Let's see. You know, I'll be daring. But not at this stage, and not at the level of responsibility that I have with the people that helped me maintain Cerevon. And you're raising an interesting point about demand and about the public, because some of our diners are really disappointed that I continue to serve our food in to-go containers. And the interesting element about this is that serving in to-go containers is actually costlier to me than if I were to use my plates. You know, the serving the food on plates, if you join us outside in our garden or on our patio, will save me money, because the dishwasher sterilizes everything. But why do I serve the food in to-go containers? Because I think the to-go containers, which are open in the hot kitchen, and I put the food in there and I close the food, limit exposure time. I presume that there are viruses swimming, floating around. And if my food is covered in the hot kitchen, then there is minimal chance for the virus to fall in the food and then be consumed by our diners. That is an extra cost to me, but I want to continue this way because I think it's safer. You know, again, Jill, it's interesting, you know, I have, as a pilot, VFR pilot, visual flight regulation pilot, found myself in cloudy whiteout situation. And the only thing you need to do is maintain your elevation and maintain your heading. So that's all I am doing. I'm maintaining my heading. I am maintaining my elevation. And you know, COVID has also damaged two of my cylinders. So, you know, business-wise, strength-wise, it's the height of the season for us to generate more income to survive during the winter months. But I cannot take bold actions because I'm in whiteout situation. And what I need to do is maintain my heading, maintain my elevation, and diligently listen to the controllers that are telling me how safely I can land my airplane without damaging my airplane or hurting anyone who's on that plane. Now, to me, the only people that are giving me sound advice are the medical leaders, medical professionals. Why? Because this is a medical issue. You know, when I'm in the airplane, I'm not going to call you, Jill, to find out what I should do. So, and I think it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate that there are so many mixed messages that the public is getting. But I think I, as a community member who has a restaurant, which is a point of connection, it's a point of gathering for a lot of members of the community, I think it's my responsibility to maintain Cerevon as safe of an environment as possible, not only for the well-being of everyone that helps me with Cerevon. I wouldn't have Cerevon if there wasn't a team of people helping me, but also for those who come and connect with each other here. It's my responsibility as a community member. This is a communal effort. We all need to make sure that we take care of the community. And safety should override financial needs. I rather get hurt and be in pain and suffer financially once and have this behind me than have this repeat itself again in the fall. You know, it's ironic because if, you know, we maintain this analogy of the airplane, just imagine that, you know, I was flying from Great Barrington to Provincetown or Chatham, and then Bradley or Boston or Providence or Cape, you know, they started giving me different messages, different directions based on their perception of what needs to be done, what is the right thing, what's the wrong thing. You know, I would never make it to Provincetown. You know, they have guidelines to protect me as a private pilot from other private pilots and other commercial airliners. You know, just imagine if they kept giving me different messages, you know, go this way, go that way, do this, do that, without the specific guideline. So I may seem overly conservative, I may seem overly cautious, but I think that is the way to go to avoid this virus, which has the Russian roulette element to it. And I think it is all of our responsibility, not only mine, but all of our responsibility to not only take care of those people that help us with our businesses, but also withstand the, how do you say this? Withstand our need, our financial needs, put our financial needs second to safety measures. Not overcrowd our patios, not overcrowd our outdoor dining, and not to give in to unnecessary information. I'll make it through.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Saravan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Saravan Restaurant in Amelia, New York, saravan.com on the web.